It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is, as you know by now, hopefully, the platform that helps change lives one body and one mind at a time. We're talking about something very timely here, coming into perhaps a little bit of the colder weather, soon enough anyway, even though you wouldn't know it from where I live. Is it possible to completely avoid things like the common cold and influenza and other infections like that? I mean, you know, why do some of us get sick with greater frequency than others? And what makes us more susceptible to illness? Are we doomed to get sick when our coworkers and family members do? Or is there some sort of a secret to staying healthy? You know, why is it that our neighbor's children seem to get sick all the time? We're going to find out the answer to these and many other questions. And, you know, over the last 10 years or so, scientists have discovered that most of us have the ability to build a superior defense against invaders of the bacterial, viral, microbial, and even the fungal variety. In other words, we have this ability to supercharge our immunity so that we can almost avoid any single disease, even things like cancer. So the answer, in effect, is yes. It is possible to become almost totally resistant to disease and illness. We just have to find out exactly what we're missing. The amazing reality is that the secret to what we call super immunity doesn't lie in some unproven and even possibly dangerous vaccine or a wonder drug, but instead within specialized nutrients that are locked away in various food choices, many of which we never make. Super immunity is ours for the taking only if we're able to deliver these nutrients to our immune systems by providing sufficient quantities of the foods that our immune systems thrive upon. So today on Transforming Health, we're going to show you exactly how to build super immunity through the science of nutrition and a few other surprises along the way. Today's guest is one of North America's leading experts on nutrition and natural healing. He's a board-certified family physician, best-selling author, and a nutritional researcher. He specializes in preventing and reversing disease through nutritional and natural methods. He's appeared on hundreds of radio and television shows, some of which are ABC, CBS, NBC, The Today Show, Good Morning America, The Dr. Oz Show. He has a PBS television show, Three Steps to Incredible Health, and his most recent public television show, Dr. Furman's Immunity Solution, Bring Nutritional Science into Homes Across America. Please welcome the best-selling author of Super Immunity, the Essential Nutrition Guide for Boosting Your Body's Defenses to Live Longer, Stronger, and disease-free. The one and only Dr. Joel Furman is with us. Dr. Furman, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing great, Brad. Thanks for the lovely introduction. Glad to be here on your show today.
Perfect. Well, listen, we've got a lot to talk about, so let's get right into this. You're a conventionally trained medical doctor. You know, there are a lot of sick people that are walking around these days. You know, what was the motivation behind this book called Super Immunity? Tell us about that.
Well, I think the motivation to writing it was where the research was going. See, I spend my life with a tremendous interest in the scientific literature. So the last 25 years, let's say, I must have read 10,000 to maybe 20,000 studies. Everything on nutrition, and when I'm seeing the nutrition move in a certain direction, it becomes very fascinating. And I think when the preponderance of evidence becomes overwhelming, I say, wow, this is really important. People have to know about this. You know, we have control of our health destiny. We don't have to get cancer, and we have enough information and enough data put together right now. We can give women a protocol where they don't have to get breast cancer. Men don't have to get prostate cancer. We can win the war on cancer in America today. And what I found in the research, this new science, is that the same damage to the DNA that would eventually lead to cancer is inherently the same cause of autoimmune conditions like lupus and psoriasis, and eventually gets worse and worse and becomes cancerous. And also the same immune function that protects us against diseases like cancer enable our body to be defensive against microorganisms like viruses and bacteria. And one more thing of tremendous interest, what motivated me to write the book, was that we used to think, and we learned this in medical school 25 years ago, was like a person got a horrible infection that maybe attacked the heart and caused an inflammation and swelling around the heart called a cardiomyopathy, or this inflammation attacked the nerves and the person got Guillain-Barré syndrome and get paralyzed. And these people are in the hospital with very serious illnesses. And we were taught that some virus caused this problem. But now the new research suggests that it's a simple virus that a normal, healthy person could slough off and be immune. It's a regular, ordinary Coxsackie virus. It's not a special virus. But
right.
with an immuno-incompetent host, with poor nutrition, it allows the virus to replicate and mutate into forms that allow the body to be, they allow the virus to become more dangerous, more virulent, and damaging to the body. So, in other words, with all the accumulation of all this information and research around, I felt it was important to get it out in a book because this information can really benefit people tremendously.
Okay, Dr. Furman, you said something very interesting, and we're going to be talking a lot about nutrition because this is where a lot of your research really lies. I know you obviously delve into this in great detail in your practice, in the other books that you've written, and it's throughout, obviously, this book, Super Immunity. Once again, I go back to your conventional training as a medical doctor. You talk to almost anybody that goes and sees an MD these days, and they even try to bring up the subject of nutrition when it comes to their immune system or a cold or a flu or anything, and their doctor will look at them, right in the eye and say, listen, that's such a joke. Nutrition has absolutely nothing to do with your immunity. What do you have to say to these people?
I don't want to necessarily put it that type of blanket accusation against doctors in general. I'm sure there are doctors who have all kinds of different opinions, just like lawyers have a lot of different opinions and electricians do too. You know what I'm saying? So I think that in our population of educated individuals, we have a lot of people that were misinformed, that haven't learned where modern science has gone, and they're still, and certainly physicians don't utilize nutrition or haven't been trained in it much in their practice. So the general physician doesn't know much more than the average science teacher, than the average lawyer, electrician. What I'm saying is that we shouldn't hold them to expect them to be up to date on all the latest science and nutrition because it's not their field. It's like asking your pharmacist. These people mostly study what their specialty is, and in general practice, they're studying treatment of diseases, but usually with drugs. And a lot of doctors, I think, are learning more and do know more about nutrition today, just because they're learning the importance of this as more science is coming out. Because I'm experiencing, because I've been in practice for more than 20 years, and I'm seeing much more physicians contact me using my books in their medical practices. Consulting me, asking me for, congratulating me on how they're exciting on the results they're getting with their patients using my protocols. So all I'm suggesting is that, there are doctors with all types of different viewpoints across the whole spectrum,
And so the problem lies more.
Yeah.
The problem lies more in our expectations of doctors going in and expecting them to know something they were never really taught in medical school. That's really the problem. We need to become a little more educated.
Right, and exactly what you said. You're very articulate in the way the way you're describing it. Even the intro is so articulate. And I guess the point I'm saying here is that things that we all should have learned in high school, colleges, graduate school, and professional schools, we don't learn. And these things are the foundation of our potential for a long and healthy life and control our health destiny. It should be reading, writing, arithmetic, and superior nutrition. But it's like politics and political, what's economically favorable and the way our country came about. And it just didn't work with unbiased and scientific information, and nutrition never became a scientific value that it needed to be. But the point here that making now is this is critical information that every American and every person needs to know and put into action in their life, because literally our country is failing, and because of it, it's a major factor in the world today. It's a major cause of crime. It's a major cause of poor in prison, major cause of depression. It ruins the economy. It ruins our healthcare. It ruins our economy because we can't afford all these sick people around, and we can't afford. So in other words, there's profound implications going into the foundation of our society, because what we're eating is ruining or damaging our potential and our potential health, which affects everything we do.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. And Dr. Furman, you know, you were talking about viruses at the very beginning, and we hear so much about viruses, you know, the latest influenza outbreak or whatever it is, and we get so scared and we run to our doctors. Very few of us even understand what a virus is. And I think, you know, one of the most important things that you kind of alluded to was, you know, I think we have so many viruses living within our bodies. I mean, almost every single person on this planet does. But the point is, if our immune system is doing the job it's designed to do by us fueling it the proper way, and we're going to get into that on the next segment. Those viruses, it doesn't matter how many or what kind of viruses we have in our system, those viruses have to attach themselves and transmit part of their particles so that they can infect the host. So it really doesn't matter if, I mean, unless we have a very poor immune system. That's the only time we're really going to notice things like viruses. Would you not agree?
I agree overall, but not 100%, you know, because obviously the chance, a healthy person can still get a virus they've never seen before based on the amount of the exposure, then the virulence of that particular virus. But generally speaking, the immune system is sufficient to make sure there's no morbidity, no long-term damage from that virus. If it doesn't have immunomemory against that particular virus, it may, with enough of an exposure, it may still manifest some symptoms. But those symptoms, you know, could be blown through in a day or so very quickly. I'm 58 years old. Maybe in the last 25 years of medical practice, I've felt sick maybe one or two times, never missed a day of work. I felt maybe a little feverish at night, but the next morning I was all better. My body just blew through it in like 8 hours or so, or 6 hours. You know, my four children, you know, one of them got chicken pox once and was sick for about 5 days. You know, and they've had a couple of minor things in their life. No, none of them have ever taken an antibiotic. None of them have ever been sick, you know. You know, I think my son was sick for a few days. But the point is that the normal immune system can still get ill once in a while, but certainly nothing that would require, you know, nothing to the degree that most people get sick with one infection after another, and sinus infections and recurrent infections and asthma, sinusitis, and all types of immune.
Right.
You know, I don't think we're totally 100% viral protected, but of course our body is so effective at getting rid of the viruses, and it doesn't manifest itself in any significant illness.
Okay, fair enough. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King, my guest today, the best-selling author of Super Immunity. We have Dr. Joel Furman with us. So are you presently living the kind of life you want to live? And by that I mean, are you at the level of physical and mental health that allows you to live your life in the manner of which you dreamed of? Or are you like the majority of North Americans who are already experiencing the pitfalls of impaired immunity? We're going to talk about so many things when we get back with more on Super Immunity. Don't go anywhere.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health. Now, let's face it, everyone is, how shall I say, stressed a little these days. Well, according to Dr. Kenneth Pelletier, he's a scientific board member of the American Institute of Stress, between 80 and 90% of all illnesses are linked to stress, and 75 to about 90% of all visits to our doctors are for stress and anxiety-related concerns. And the problem is, when we're constantly stressed over things, we end up elevating are stress hormones, especially one called cortisol. And perception equals reality in the face of stress. So during stress, cortisol can easily become more important to your body than other hormones that are produced along the same pathway. We've got one called DHEA, one of the most important, we call it an anti-aging hormone, but it's also very important for the immune system. And when we have very high levels of stress, we usually have very low levels of DHEA, and we also have very low levels of sex hormones. Those are produced along the same way. And this is one of the reasons why we're not really interested in sex when we're highly stressed, because things like testosterone are also eaten away. So now that you're a little aware that excess stress can have a negative impact on your immunity, let's find out how serious the problem really is, and most importantly, what we're able to do about it. Please welcome back family physician, nutritional researcher, and the best-selling author of Super Immunity, the Essential Nutrition Guide for Boosting Your Body's Defenses to Live Longer, Stronger, and Disease-Free, Dr. Joel Furman. Dr. Furman, what do you have to say about stress and its relation to basically the immune problems that so many people are experiencing these days?
Well, it's like fibers of a cloth, or I say it's like intertwined. It's hard to really separate out. Like, if you ask me to separate out a person's risk of cancer, is it caused by the obesity or is it caused by the bad diet, poor nutrition, or being overweight? Well, how can we say which one? I mean, if you have a bad diet, you become overweight. And if you have a great diet, you're not going to really a diet that's so rich in micronutrients, the right food choice, you're not going to be overweight. And certainly being overweight leads to more heightened levels of insulin and then other factors that create cancer and inflammatory neurotransmitters and things. But in any case, the same thing with regard to stress. I mean, bad nutrition affects brain function and affects your ability and interferes ability to tolerate stress in life and to make the right decisions. And it makes you, and then bad nutrition makes you an addict. And when you're an addict, the primitive brain is driven by its most primitive needs. It can't think logically or scientific. It makes decisions based on meeting its addictive drives and is worried about changing its feelings and sensations. When you're telling me that which is worse for you, stress or bad nutrition, I mean, it's really, in other words, when you're in good health, you're less stressed out. You're in more control of your emotions. You can base your decisions based on logic and long-term benefits for your future. When your brain is fully functioning normally, stress plays a role in suppressing immunity, but suppression of the immune system through bad nutrition plays a role in your susceptibility to stress. So, in other words, how do we separate all these things out? And
right,
certainly, we want to have a happy life. We want to minimize things that we want to have the right emotional outlook towards life. And if we do, obviously, there's going to be more chance you're going to make better choices to eat better and to take good care of your body long term. But it's really hard to separate, like, which came first, the chicken or the egg sometimes. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what's so interesting about that is, people who may want to make better choices, I think people don't really understand the importance of the connection between the mind and the intestinal system. And, it's like we're hearing now, because of all of this latest research, that our gastrointestinal system is like a second brain. It may even be more important than the actual brain in our head. And they're constantly communicating with one another. So obviously, if we're not putting the proper nutrition into our body, the gastrointestinal system can't function properly, and therefore the brain, we're not going to be able to have those emotions maybe to make the right decisions. So what do you have to say about that?
I would have said it a little differently, but I'm overall agreeing with you. I mean, the digestive tract is our interface between the primary interface between the external world and ourselves in the form of nutrition. And 70% of our immune cells are surrounding and aligning and in the digestive tract as well. That's where our heightened defenses against diseases are. And that's where the entry to potential microorganisms and toxins and nutrition comes through the digestive tract, and all those things have to be filtered out. And that the nutritional and biochemical milieu of the digestive tract affects brain function. Yes, that's absolutely true. And but it affects all bodies. You know, the brain is just like your liver, your kidney. It's an organ of the body. And when we do things improperly, it affects negatively on all our organs, including the brain. And when we do the right things, it has a positive effect on all our organs, including the liver and the kidney and the brain, of course, and the heart, and in other words, in the blood vessels. So our body is dependent on proper nutrition. And I think we're both saying similar things, that I'm suggesting that, for example, that when you don't have the right micronutrients balance and you don't achieve comprehensive micronutrient adequacy, it suppresses the immune system. And it makes the whole body more vulnerable. And when you don't have the right fatty acid balance, the right bacterial milieu of the right growth of the healthy bacteria in the digestive tract, which degrade certain indigestible fibers into short-chain fatty acids, like butyrate, which is important for immune function. The point that we're making is that the basic natural environment, a clean environment of an assortment of natural foods, when humans are able to sustain themselves, with the comprehensive array and the right balance of nutrition they need, then obviously they're going to be less prone to having stress. Not that our environment isn't stressful in the modern world, but of course, you know, there's always been stresses in human history. If we lived in the primitive times, there's got to be stresses of being eaten by animals. The body can handle stress, but of course, the healthy body can handle stress so much better, is the point. And
right.
And we're so much more resistant to any type of stresses when we're physically and fitness. Let me ask you this.
How much of this poor immunity do you think is caused from inflammatory types of problems? Because you're talking about nutrition here. Let's face it. The staple of the North American diet are things like grains. Grains contain problematic, we'll call them anti-nutrients, things like gluten and gliadin that can affect the gastrointestinal system, cause inflammation. And we now know that the byproducts of that inflammation can actually cross the blood-brain barrier and affect brain health. So I just want to get your take on inflammation and how that affects immunity.
Well, the primary cause of inflammation in the body is the lack of proper nutrition. Now, you're talking about one aspect that affects a certain number of people, but let me just say in general that the American diet contains 62% of calories from processed foods. That's white bread, sugar, soft drinks, donuts, crackers, chips, breakfast, pop breakfast cereals, and, you know, muffins and cookies and rice cakes and pretzels. That's 62%. Now, that's calories. When you take in calories with no significant micronutrient load, no antioxidants, no phytochemicals, very low levels, you know, then you build up inflammation because obviously the major control of inflammation, the word inflammation mostly means the buildup of free radicals in the tissues that can't be, because it's an unpaired electron, destroys tissue and leads to tissue damage. That's the major cause of inflammation, as well as advanced glycation end products that build up in tissues, glycated products, glucose moiety that sticks to everything, like and causes nerve damage and eye damage and diabetics and kidney failure. But in any case, there's other causes of inflammation in the tissue, aldehydes and things that are excreted, different types of formation of compounds that are inflammatory, pro-inflammatory mediators. The point that I'm making is that 62% of the American diet is essentially junk food. And then we have 26% of the American diet is animal products. And animal products do not contain any antioxidants or chemicals either. They're just a major source of macronutrients and a few vitamins and minerals. But they're not supplying either what the processed foods are missing. If you're not getting the antioxidants, phytochemicals in the processed foods, you're not getting the antiprox either. And then you're saying, added on to that, is a significant amount of our population are sensitive to some of the foods that create imbalance in the digestive tract. We have sensitivities, but I'm suggesting that even those sensitivities you're referring to are exacerbated and promoted by the lack of broad-spectrum micronutrient access in the American diet, which then makes people more allergic and more prone to food sensitivities and food reactivity. So I wouldn't start with, you know, let's say, gluten and wheat as the major source of problems in the American diet. I would start with the American diet itself, which actually worsens the problem to gluten and wheat, but that's just one of the many problems. The American diet it couldn't be better designed to create an epidemic of autoimmune conditions and cancer had it been designed by the Taliban.
What do you define superimmunity?
Well, I just, you know, when I say super immunity, obviously compared to the average American, it's super immunity. But in reality, I'm saying that inherent in our genetic code is the ability to, for our body to be a miraculous self-healing, self-protective machine, and it's really normal immunity. So I'm really defining super immunity as the type of immune system protection our body has the capacity and capability to achieve. And that means we're not sitting ducks waiting to get some serious illnesses, and our body is already resistant to cancer.
I love
and,
it. Yeah, that,
and that,
that
is possible to achieve. From,
so well, you're listening
when I
to Transforming
say we can
Health,
win the war on cancer, I'm saying that we can certainly
win 90%
of cancer.
We are talking to Dr. Joel Fuhrman today. He's the author of Super Immunity, the Essential Nutrition Guide for Boosting Your Body's Defenses to Live Longer, Stronger, and Disease-Free. We'll be right back with the second half of Transforming Health. We've got a lot more to cover, so don't go anywhere.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% organic pre-seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health with Brad King. You know, these days it seems as if the great majority of us are living with what I would call a compromised immune system, one that allows opportunistic infections that otherwise would never be a problem to become a problem. And we all know people that seem to catch a cold just by being in the same room as someone infected by a virus, or people that seem to experience a cold sore almost every other week. You know, these are all signs of poor immunity, and they're more often than not due to a poor diet, one that is lacking in the very nutrients needed to allow our immune system to function at peak capacity, something today's Transforming Health guest calls super immunity. You know, that healthy body that you grant and has changed a bit to hit your 20s is in fact constantly changing. Your body is busy processing everything that goes into it, food, water, oxygen, that's just to name a few of the key resources. And, you know, growing, repairing, replacing material all the time. Every minute of the day and night, every cell in your body is undergoing change. And when your body was new or young, at least in the biological sense, that process was very efficient. And as far as the repair part of the process is concerned, things like cuts and bruises healed very quickly. Well, obviously, that is not the way it stays as you get a little older. So why does this happen? Why does our immune system seem to go down? Why do we get a lot sicker or easier? Anyway, catch these things a lot easier when we are older rather than when we are younger. And I'm not talking about very young before our immune system has fully developed. Maybe in our teens and our early 20s, we don't get sick for the most part nearly as much. Although today's guest is probably going to tell us that that is constantly changing and we're seeing more and more young people that are getting sick. So Welcome back to Transforming Health. We're talking about superimmunity. Today's guest is one of North America's leading experts on nutrition and natural healing. He is a board-certified family physician. He's a best-selling author and nutritional researcher. Please welcome back the best-selling author of Superimmunity, Dr. Joel Furman. Dr. Furman, what about that? Are you starting to see now younger and younger people that are experiencing diseases and illness more than we have, let's say, going back 20, 30 years ago?
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing diabetes and pre-diabetes, which almost unheard of in children 20 years ago. Now, I think a quarter of all children are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. We're seeing strokes in children. We're seeing actually in specialized nursing homes and care centers being set up for kids, children who have strokes. We're seeing a growing, skyrocketing incidence of autoimmune conditions, like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, asthma, eczema, things like that skyrocketing, allergies and food allergies increasing dramatically. Yes, we are seeing the things that we would normally see after many years of aging and the effect of bad nutrition over many years because for so many people, the diet's starting to be poor so young today that we're seeing, potentially serious, significant, and scary. Scary and things
right.
going on, Just for example, 15 years ago, less than 3% of new cases of childhood diabetes were type 2, and now it's 50% of all cases. So we're talking about 3% to 50%. We're talking about the number of teenagers with pre-diabetes or diabetes increased from 9% in the year 2000, and now in 2008 it was up to 23%. We're talking about explosion of diseases, mostly due to what I call fast food genocide.
right. And we're seeing these in countries that we, obviously who we never used to see them before they started to adopt the North American diet.
Exactly.
So now what was really interesting off the air, because I was doing a little bit of research on you for the show today, and, I couldn't quite tell from some of the research I was doing. I thought maybe you were a vegetarian. I knew you weren't a vegan, but I thought maybe this guy's a vegetarian. And I asked you before we went on air, I said, Dr. Furman, I'm just curious, are you a vegetarian? You went, no, I'm not a vegetarian. I'm a nutritarian. Tell us about that.
Right. I coined the word nutritarian, obviously, because clearly, we're eating a diet style without sufficient micronutrients in it, we're starved for new micronutrients. Of course, we're getting excess macronutrients. The word macro means large. Macronutrients are fat, carbohydrate, and protein. Americans, that means calories. Americans are eating too many calories, too much fat, too much carbohydrate, and too much protein. We're probably eating a third to a half more calories than the human body requires. Yet, at the same time, we're probably getting about one-tenth the amount of micronutrients that we need. For the formula for excellent health is H equals N over C, which is your healthy life expectancy is proportional to the micronutrient per calorie density of your diet. So essentially we're starving for micronutrients and over-consuming calories. So obviously I'm recommending people eat a nutritarian diet that's rich in micronutrients. And to do that, you have to know which foods are high in micronutrients so you can eat more of those and which foods don't have any micronutrients in them so you could eat less of those foods. Because we want to get as much micronutrient bang per caloric buck. And my other major contribution to the field of nutritional science is the understanding and teachings of the biochemistry of that when you achieve micronutrient adequacy, it removes cravings and addictive drives to overeat, which almost all Americans have. Because they're driven to overeat because they didn't achieve micronutrient adequacy. And they feel shaky and weak and fatigued and headachy. They actually feel ill in between meals, which is relieved by the stimulating effect of food. So they think they're feeling weak and tired and shaky and headachy or hunger. They think those withdrawal symptoms from their bad diet are hunger symptoms. And because eating makes them feel better again, they continually are dependent on more calories than they would be had they been eating healthy and hadn't had those withdrawal symptoms occurring.
Right, and thus the saying, starving to death on a full stomach. Because, I mean, let's face it, the majority of the population right now, at least in North America, is what I call overfat. I don't like to call these people overweight. I don't think that really means anything. I think we need to differentiate where weight is on the body. And that's why I think there's so many problems with the way we try to address the weight situation. because people go on these ridiculous things called fad diets, which are nothing more than short-term solutions to a lifelong problem. That lifelong problem is obesity. But you just brought something up very interesting. Do you think it's this nutrient deprivation that so many of us are experiencing causing us to overeat where the body is in search of the right nutrients? Do you think that's one of the main causes of obesity?
I think that the main cause of obesity is the sensation is leading to overeating, but I don't think the body is in search of micronutrients. I think it's a more of a withdrawal symptom. Like when you stop smoking cigarettes or stop drinking coffee or stop shooting up in heroin, you feel ill. And the illness, the ill feelings are relieved by another snort of cocaine or another puff on a cigarette or another drink cup of coffee. It's not that your body is seeking nutrients for relief. It's seeking the toxic stimulation from whatever bad habit that gives you relief. In other words, food's addictive potential is proportional to its negative health effects. The more, even drugs are, the efficacy of a medication is proportional to its toxicity. The point
right.
is it makes us feel better to consume toxic substances, but feeling better isn't getting better. Feeling better is getting worse. Feeling worse is getting better. In other words, when we stop imbibing in things that are harmful for us, we temporarily feel worse. You're drinking, you're snorting cocaine, you're eating junk food, you're, you know, whatever it is you're doing that's unhealthy. When you try to stop the unhealthy behavior, you start to feel ill. That's called withdrawal and detoxification. And that's a right directed activity of the body to repair, to do repair, rejuvenate, and remove toxic waste from the tissues. But it could be uncomfortable. But
right.
the human body, but people don't want to be uncomfortable, so they want to keep imbibing in what's most bad for them. And then the concentrated calories, sugar, oil, sweets, all these things also affect the brain, affect dopamine receptors in the brain in a way to trigger positive sensations of addiction that take over brain concentration. So you're thinking about the foods, you're thinking about the sugar, you're thinking about eating that potato chip or that ice cream. It's constantly in your brain. So there's a combination of factors. Even though I'm suggesting that nutrients and fiber do suppress appetite, mm-hmm. I'm also suggesting that as the source of overeating is minor compared to the withdrawal from the wrong foods and the central nervous system high, eating the concentrated calories gives people. So there's a multiple biochemical, processes going on simultaneously here. It's hard to ferret out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what's interesting as well is, there's so many people that are addicted to stimulants, as you say, and it's probably because they're not feeling very well, so they don't have the energy. They wake up and they say, I feel lousy. I need energy. I'm going to go and borrow energy. They don't realize they're borrowing the energy. But when you take something like coffee, you're borrowing energy off of your adrenal system, off of your very own body. And there was a study at the University of Bristol in England where they showed that people that drink usually two or more cups of coffee a day are usually going through what we call the caffeine withdrawal. So that high or that energy they think they're experiencing from the coffee is actually their body just getting back to normalcy from getting that extra hit, kind of what you were saying. It's taking that drug in. It's the same thing if they
I like that.
Yeah, with sugar, same thing. I mean, if they're addicted to sugar.
I like that analogy. That's really cool. I mean, because I tell people all the time that the battery retains its charge when you don't use it. If you keep the flashlight turned on, you're going to burn out the battery. That we're going to eat. We don't want to rev up our body with stimulants. We don't want to keep it hype. We're fully energized. We're getting enough rest and sleep, and we're eating right. We have all the energy we need. When we're not
right.
taking good care of our body, we can't stimulate the body to get to. You can stimulate the body to feel better, but that's like you said. That's drawing on the body's. That's you're actually making the body more fatigued. You're stripping the body. See, that's exactly right. I mean, it's obviously people, they live from coffee cup to pill, a drug for this, a drug for that. Do you know 50% of our population of all ages is on medication and 90% of our population of the age of 60 is taking medications? And at the end, half of the population of the age of 60 is taking five or more medications? I mean, it's
crazy.
It's totally mind-boggling. It's how much poisons and drugs people are putting in their body, all because they're not eating in a way that's commensurate with the human system. And then they think that these drugs are helping them. When actually the drugs are toxic, they're accelerating the aging process. They're making them sicker, not better. I mean, it's like taking your car into the mechanic with the oil light flashing on the dashboard, and the mechanic reaches his hand in there with a wire cutter and snips the wire to the dashboard. It's just that the drugs just cover up the fact that, you know, some of the blood pressure medications don't even lower central nervous system blood pressure. They just lower blood pressure peripherally in the arm when you measure it. It actually just, and they lower, and they increase the pulse pressure, which means they separate the difference between the diastolic and the systolic, promoting cardiac ischemia and irregular heartbeats. So things get better, while they're, and then they're psychologically encouraged to continue the same lifestyle, which caused the problem to begin with, so they accelerates their illness. They never had these, you know, instead of doctors were, you know, the point is superior nutrition is tremendously effective to lower blood pressure, to get rid of diabetes, and nutrition is important, and light therapy helps with depression and anxiety. We're talking about that not only is nutritional interventions therapeutic, not only is it preventative, it's also therapeutic. And it's therapeutic in a manner to right the system and bring it back to health again, and as opposed to covering it up with a Band-Aid or a drug, which is just really what you're saying, what you were saying about stimulating the body, paying, you know, taking Peter to pay Paul. It's all that. Yeah. So it's all intertwined.
Well, you're listening to Dr. Joel Furman. I think he's a touch passionate about this subject. I could be wrong. I don't think so. The book is called Super Immunity. We have so much more to cover. You're going to want to get a pad of paper and a pen out. We're going to talk about Dr. Furman's G-bombs. That's an acronym for some of the super immunity foods that he suggests. We're going to find out his five simple rules for enhancing your immune system so you can have super immunity, and much more if we have the time when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the final segment of Transforming Health with Brad King. You know, your immune system is comprised of an array of specialized warrior cells. And like every single cell in the body other than your blood cells, it requires this constant source of energy in the form of something we call ATP. That is the universal energy substrate. And, you know, we've been told that energy comes from food. Well, if you eat lots of food, you should theoretically have more energy. But unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way, does it? I mean, eating more eventually brings on things like obesity, so we end up overweight and fatigued with, guess what, poor immunity. The answer for powering up the cells that run our immunity lies in the types of nutrients that we choose to put into our body. Super nutrition equals super energy production, which equals what today's guest has coined super immunity. Please welcome back family physician, nutritional researcher, and the best-selling author of Super Immunity, the Essential Nutrition Guide for Boosting Your Body's Defenses to Live Longer, Stronger, and Disease-Free, Dr. Joel Furman. Dr. Furman, in your book, Super Immunity, you use the acronym G-bombs for your list of health-promoting or immunity-boosting superfoods. So why don't you tell us some of your favorites?
Well, thanks, Brad. The acronym G-bombs stands for greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. And we can touch on each of those individually briefly,
sure,
if you'd like. But
yeah, let's do it.
Okay, do it quickly. Green vegetables supply the body with compounds called isothiocyanates, ITCs. ITCs are a compound that's formed in your mouth as you're chewing. The enzyme that forms them is called myrosinase, and it's heat sensitive. So that means that if you overcook a green vegetable like broccoli to mush, you're not going to form any ITCs. You have to chew, or you can cook it to mush if you blend it or chopped it all the way first to have a chemical reaction be forming the ITC. The ITC isn't heat sensitive, but the enzyme that forms it is. But in any case, these isothiocyanates fuel a lot of different mechanisms in the body. They're critical for immune system. They're critical for development of the aerohydrocarbon receptor for the intraepithelial lymphocytes, specialized intraepithelial lymphocytes that line the digestive tract. The immune system's presence in the line of the digestive tract is dependent on these receptors and dependent on the presence of green vegetables in your diet. When you don't have a sufficient green vegetable in your diet, you simply are immunodeficient. No question about it.
So what are some of your favorites? Because what you're talking about here are indoles, correct?
Yes. They're indoles are one type of isothiocyanate. In any case, the cruciferous family, broccoli, cabbage, kale, arugula, watercress, Brussels sprouts, turnips, radishes, cauliflower are all cruciferous vegetables named after the cruciferous, which means a four-leafed leaf plant in the form of a cross. Nevertheless, these green vegetables liberate these compounds that our human immune system is dependent on. We're green vegetable dependent animal. And of course, the antioxidant response element is the primary DNA sequence that controls free radical production in the cells. And that also is transcribed by a transcription factor that's fueled by green vegetable consumption. So where there's a host of different mechanisms in the body that depend on that. And if we look at reduction against cancer rates, find people that eat green vegetables on a regular basis, we see between 55 and, 80% reductions in most cancers. People, women who eat it every day have like a 50-66% reduction of breast cancer. Let's go on to green vegetables, then go on to...
Before we go on to those green vegetables, I have a question for you. Does it matter the way you prepare these? Like, can you juice them? Can you blend them? Do you need to cook them? Can you eat them raw? What is the best way, or does it depend on the green vegetable?
No, I was mentioning earlier that it's important in the way you prepare them to retain those benefits, and I did mention some of that. Maybe I went through it a little too quickly, but I'll say it again when you chew the vegetable raw in your mouth, or you juice it or you blend it, you break down the cell wall. And the myrosinase enzyme that's housed in the cell wall then mixes with a compound in the vegetable called glucosinolate. And that enzymatic reaction takes place to form the anti-cancer isothiocyanates in your mouth while you're chewing. Now, if you juice it or blend it while it's raw, you're going to form the chemical compound. You're going to form the beneficial compounds as well. So either chewing or blending or juicing. But if you take the whole onion or the whole green vegetable without cutting it or chewing it or blending it, if you cook it whole, you'll deactivate, in the case of the green vegetables, you'll deactivate the myrosinase enzyme. In the case of the onion, you'll deactivate the alanase enzyme.
Right.
And you won't form the beneficial, the highly potent anti-cancer compounds.
Okay, and I just want to mention one more thing before you move on to beans. Maca, like Peruvian maca, also contains those isothiocyanates as well, which is why it is also a superfood. I don't know if you mentioned that in your book.
I did not.
Okay. So what about beans? Why are beans so important?
Beans are linked. Population of beans live longer. They avoid cancer. There's a compound called IP5 or inositol pentakis phosphate in beans that's linked to dramatic protection, stimulation of the immune system against cancer. And so there's a lot of that. But beans, about half the carbohydrate in beans is called resistant starch, which thus the body does not break it down into carbohydrate or glucose, into a simple sugar. It's unable, that's why it's called resistant. Instead, it's acted on by bacteria, and it's converted into fat, short-chain fatty acids, predominantly butyrate. And butyrate has to protect anti-inflammatory effects, and has, of course, and most of it doesn't, those calories are lost because they pass through you anyway, but it has protective effects on the digestive tract. In any case, you don't get all the calories that are present in beans aren't all available. And they have powerful immune strengthening properties. Men who eat beans, peas, lentils, and beans three times a week have about half the rate of colon cancer. I always say the joke, imagine if men eat beans every day, they'll have no more friends left, but at least they won't get cancer.
Fair enough. Okay. Oh.
And then, of course, we could talk more about beans. Beans are fun food to talk about, but let's move on to mushrooms, okay?
Okay. Well, we missed, I think it was onions.
Yeah, onions are very, I'm amazed at the powerful effect of onions against cancer. You'd think tomatoes are effective against prostate cancer, but onions are even more protective. It's just amazing. And
we're talking here about
populations that eat onions have, most cancers between 60% and 80% reduction in cancer. Just from that one, we're saying here that beans are protective, greens are protective, onions are protective, seeds are protective, berries, all these foods are individually protective in studies.
Right.
What if we put a protocol, a portfolio diet together, which contains adequate amounts of all these individual super protective foods, and that's the whole point of super immunity, to establish it. But in any case, we were moving on to mushrooms then?
Yeah, mushrooms.
Onions, mushrooms, yeah, because we're not going to have much time. Mushrooms are a trifecta. In other words, they have a lot of factors that make them so protective. One is they're very potent angiogenesis inhibitors. And that means that even a simple white button mushrooms don't let blood vessels feed the fat supply. So they inhibit fat deposition on the body. It makes it difficult. And in doing so, they inhibit replication of all cells. They inhibit potential growth of cancers because they don't let cancer, they oppose the signals abnormal cells would send out asking for nutrients in blood vessels to feed them oxygenation. They also have aromatase inhibition in them that protects the breast against the stimulating effects of estrogen. So they lower overall your estradiol level and they increase the breast's resistance to estrogen stimulation.
Mushrooms would be great for men who are experiencing that male menopause or andropause syndrome.
I think that's correct. Mushrooms help you balance the hormones and reduce any negative effect that hormones could have on the body. Mushrooms, that's their – and
yeah, because so many men are experiencing low testosterone and high estradiol. So, that's why they're getting that gynecomastia, the deposits around their nipple areas. So that's amazing. I didn't know a few of those things from mushrooms, so that's fantastic. And you're obviously talking about things like maitake mushrooms, reishi mushrooms, lion's mane. I mean the whole gamut, right?
Absolutely. But I'm also suggesting that even the least expensive white button mushrooms are significantly powerful with angiogenesis inhibitors and aromatase inhibitors. There's a lot of other features of mushrooms we're not going to even talk about, but the point is that they're very powerful enablers of the heightened immune function in the body and especially protection against cancer. It's almost as if that these foods must have been essential structurally in human and primitive humans and primitive primate development to enable, because our immune system seems dependent and really fueled by these foods in wonderful ways.
Right. Yeah. Well, when you think about the mass that they grow in, the mycelium, it's really the largest landmass in the entire world. I mean, it takes up, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miles. I mean, it's one of the fastest growing masses, living systems. I mean, it is a living system when you think about it.
Right. Well, exactly. I'm not a particular expert of how to go in the woods and look for mushrooms, but I'm sure if I lived, 50,000 years ago, I'd be out there in the woods looking at finding pine nuts and mushrooms and greens and even fruits. We would know we'd find food to eat in the natural world. We'd become experts in that. Now we're so separated from our food supply, it gets delivered to us that we don't really even know how to seek out and find the natural foods in our. But one day in my life, I'd probably like to be shipwrecked on a desert island and test it out.
Be careful what you wish for. Okay, now we're on to, I think it's berries.
Right, berries, of course, as you were saying, polyphenols and flavonoids and all the beneficial effects of berries, they affect brain function. They affect memory. Right. They protect brain cells. And when you take these berry extracts and we give them to people with cancer, we find they even have effects to reverse cancer and cause dysplasia in early stage cancers to go back to normal. They accelerate. So we're doing all types of studies with berries that are actually surprising. The researchers doing the studies are like fascinating on how powerful effects berries are. And even though they taste sweet, they don't have a strong glycemic effect either. They're a very low glycemic food. And so another superfood that has very powerful beneficial effects.
Now, what do you have to say to, as you said, there are so many compounds, many of which we'll never even discover in these berries. You're talking about brain function. We hear a lot of that with blueberries. But, I mean, they all have, obviously some medicinal effect. What about these raspberry ketones? This is the biggest thing now. You can't go into a health food store without seeing, as seen on Dr. Oz, raspberry ketones. What's your take on that? Have you looked into the research?
My take on it is that people are always seeking for some magic pill that can absolve their relationship with food so they can continue to eat a diet that's not natural, that's not made at whole foods. You know, and the effects from these things are always going to be, you know, if there is any positive, it's going to be minor, and it's not going to be, you know, if you can't divorce yourself from the biological laws of cause and effect. You can't, you know, live on cheeseburgers and croissants and think you're not going to pay a price, or French fries, or whatever it is. It's just utterly ridiculous. And then when you eat healthy things, it's like resveratrol from drinking wine. I mean, when you're eating the healthy berries and the greens, you're getting that stuff anyway. The point is, when you eat a healthy diet, you're getting the right type of nutrients you should be getting. And when you're not eating a healthy diet, taking a few of the things that you might get from food may benefit you in some way. You know, it may be better to take, you know, some berry extracts instead of eating berries. But you can't really, you're not going to get the effect unless you totally change the way you eat. Americans have to totally and radically change the way they eat.
Absolutely. So with the final G-bombs, the S?
Yeah, I almost forgot, you know, seeds. The studies are miraculous here. We're talking about one study took women who had breast cancer. That means all the women in the study had breast cancer. And they followed thousands of women for 10 years. And they found that women who had just a half a milligram of lignin a day in their diet, averaging out a half milligram of lignin a day or less, had a 71% decreased risk of death from breast cancer compared to women who did not have lignins from chia seeds, from flax seeds, from hemp seeds, from seeds in the diet. And a very small amount, a half a milligram, but you get there, you know, one teaspoon of these ground seeds gives you 7 milligrams. So we're not talking about a hell of a lot. Then they did another study with women who had breast cancer, already had diagnosed with breast cancer, and they gave these women a muffin with ground flax seeds in it compared to women who had a regular muffin. They couldn't tell the difference with the muffin. And even in 6 weeks, they saw apoptosis of breast tissue of cancer cells, which means death of cancer cells, and they saw the halting of the proliferation and slowing down of the rate of replication of cancer cells in the people who had the flax seed muffin. The point I'm making is that even the researchers themselves are shocked at how powerful these natural foods are at improving immune function and the body's resistance to cancer. And in fact, you know, it seems that cancer is a permissive disease. It's permissive. We're allowing it to happen because we're no longer dependent on the natural on foods and the nature natural world that give us the protection. You know.
Yeah, and there's no prevention out there. I mean, all of these organizations that are saying give us your money for cancer research. Well, why don't we have any money going towards prevention and education, as you know, Dr. Furman is talking about here with superimmunity? Then we wouldn't need to raise as much money for, you know, cancer. You've been listening to Transforming Health with Brad King. My guest today has been the one and only Dr. Joel Furman. I'm a big fan of yours. I wasn't before, Dr. Furman, and it's just because I didn't know enough about you. I'm definitely a fan of yours now because you definitely walk what you talk. You're passionate about your subject. I love that. The book is called Superimmunity. How can people find out more information about you and the book?
Well, thanks, Brad. Well, certainly you can go to my website, drfurman.com, which is drfurman.com. And obviously, like you, Brad, I get a lot of personal reward and love the fact that people are getting helped and getting well and not being sick and reversing diseases. It's very exciting. And that's why, you know, I want people themselves to feel positive about this because they can transform their own life and affect other people. And if we all share this and we're all helping spread better health to people around America.
Well, thanks very much, and the show will be broadcast live on my Transforming Health with Brad King on Facebook page, so you can listen to this, download it absolutely free. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Once again, thank you very much, Dr. Furman, and go out there, have yourself an unbelievable week, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place, with another, and I promise you, another incredible guest. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.